Sometime later, when Villain and the wardroom steward he'd pressed into service had cleared the table, poured the wine, and put Manthir's tobacco humidor in the center of the table, the Admiral leaned back in his chair with a sigh of content. The wind had picked back up a bit, and the canvas wind scoop rigged for the skylight funneled some of it through the dining cabin. It brought with it a welcome breath of coolness, blowing back out through the stern and quarter windows. Fussy as Villain might be, he'd done his usual outstanding job, and two of the wyverns he'd acquired when the fleet paid a brief call at Westbreak Island to take on water and fresh vegetables had made the ultimate sacrifice. The vegetables, which had been purchased at the same time, were mostly gone, but the hens were laying well enough to provide mayonnaise, and Villain had contrived a potato salad, heavy on pickles and onions and short on celery and bell pepper, unfortunately, but still tasty, to accompany the roasted rice-stuffed wyverns. Fresh-baked bread and butter, which alas had been somewhat less fresh than the bread, and spiced bread pudding had completed the menu. Now the Admiral lit his pipe and waited patiently while everyone but young Master Sverzman, Dancer's signal midshipman, followed his example. Once all pipes were drawing nicely, Manthir cocked an eyebrow at Marshal Grazael.
"And now that the evening's serious business is out of the way, Commander," he said around his pipe stem, "suppose you tell us how your mission ashore went."
"Of course, sir," Grazael straightened and cleared his throat. "As you instructed, I carried your message to Claw Keep." He grimaced. "Calling it a keep is a definite overstatement, in my opinion, Sir Gwilym. It does have a curtain wall, but I imagine we could knock it down with a 14-pounder in an afternoon. And there's no real keep at all, just a couple of dozen buildings, mostly houses of a sort, but at least three saloons, sort of huddled together inside the wall."
"Not too surprising, sir," Captain Rafe McGale put in. Manthir's flag captain was a wiry, black-haired man with extremely dark brown eyes. He was 8 years younger than his admiral, and his promotion to captain's rank was relatively recent. There was a lot of that going around, but he'd been at sea since he was 12, and there was very little he hadn't seen.
"That curtain wall of Marshal's would be intended to discourage pirates, or other pirates, I should say, rather than provide any serious defense."
The flag captain sniffed disdainfully.
"I may not think much of the Harchongese Navy, but if these people were ever foolish enough to make themselves a serious nuisance to the Empire, all the walls in the world wouldn't save their asses, and they know it."
"That was my impression, Captain," Grazael agreed with a nod. "And, Admiral," he returned his gaze to Manthir, "they've got a lot of fishing boats for such a small town. Some of them are damn near as big as Messenger, too. And they've got brackets for swivel wolves. Captain Lafat, he's the fellow in charge, seemed just a bit eager to keep me from noticing that little detail."
"Point taken, Master Grazael," Manthir said.
Wolf was a generic term for artillery pieces with a bore of less than 2 inches and a shot which weighed 1 pound or less. Swivel wolves were at the small end of the range. Whether they were very light cannon or extremely heavy muskets was mostly a matter of semantics. They had little effect on the hull of a ship, but they were portable, easily mounted on a ship's rail, or dismounted and hidden when a cruiser came along, and effective anti-personnel weapons, just the thing for a crew of pirates who wanted to swarm over a lightly manned, weakly armed merchant vessel.
"So your impression is that this Lafat, was it, might occasionally fish for something besides forktail or hake?" he went on,
and Grazael nodded again.
"I'd say that's exactly what he does, sir," the lieutenant commander replied. "Mind you, from the look of things, it doesn't seem to pay very well."
Manthir snorted. He'd never yet met a pirate who couldn't have earned more over the long run, doing honest work, not to mention living longer into the bargain.
"And I don't doubt for a moment that Captain Lafat's rank was entirely self-bestowed. I couldn't decide where he's from originally, but I'm pretty sure he's not Harchongese.
He's too tall, among other things, and I don't think he's at all pleased with the notion of having us move in.
Now I wonder why that might be,
Yeerman Seasmoke, Dancer's first lieutenant, murmured, earning an even harsher snort from his admiral.
Should I assume from that he told you to pound sand, Commander?
Manthir asked dryly, and Grazael laughed.
I think that's exactly what he wished he could do, sir. Unfortunately, one of those fishing boats of his apparently got a fairly accurate count on the squadron before it ran for harbor. I don't think he thinks all those transports are empty.
This time, a general mutter of laughter ran around the dining table.
Lefat, if that's even his real name, has obviously decided he doesn't want to lock horns with you, Sir Grillam,
Grazael continued.
He tried to argue that the island's wells don't produce enough water to support this many extra mouths. I think he's exaggerating his concerns, but I don't think he's making them up entirely either. In the end, though, he agreed to open his gates to us. I imagine everyone in Claw Keep is busy hiding evidence before the Marines come ashore.
I imagine that's exactly what they're doing, Manthir agreed. Well, that and trying to get a messenger out to report us to the governor of Quiroz, or maybe Teagle Camp, depending on the wind. I suppose he promised faithfully that no such action would ever so much as cross his mind, Commander.
Something of that sort, sir, yes.
Good. Manthir smiled nastily. It's not as if the Harchongese aren't going to figure out we're here pretty damned quick, if they didn't already guess this was where we were headed. But when the good captain's messenger runs into Lance lying in the middle of North Channel, it'll give me a little more leverage with him, or a bigger club to beat him with, at any rate.
The admiral considered for several moments, then nodded to himself.
You did well, Master Grazael, he said. I'll see to it that my reports indicate as much.
The young Chisomian smiled with obvious pleasure, but said nothing, and Manthir returned to his flag captain.
With any luck, we'll have a south or southeast wind tomorrow morning, Rafe. Assuming we've got one we can work with, I want the entire fleet inside Hardship Bay by evening. I doubt Captain Lefat is stupid enough to try anything foolish, but let's not take any chances. We'll use a couple of the schooners to lead the squadron and tell Brigadier Teotain that I want two or three companies of his marines to go ashore and secure the keep before we anchor.
Yes, sir.
In that case, gentlemen, the admiral said, reaching for the whiskey decanter, I think we can safely lift a glass to a job well done by Commander Grazael.